All right, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. And then go ahead and turn in your Bible and put a marker in 1 Timothy 3. Can we do that? At least put a thumb. How many got a thumb or a finger you'd like to use? Either way. And just hold those two places because we're going to kind of be back and forth today. Title of the message today is Disciple. Remember, that's our series for the whole year. We want to be a disciple. We want to make a disciple. Well, a disciple that we're going to talk about today is a deacon, is a disciple who serves. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Six important words. Lay hands suddenly on no man. What does that mean? Never be in a hurry about appointing a pastor or a deacon. When it comes to appointing these men, the two offices of our church, we got to practice care. We got to realize it's a big responsibility. It cannot be done suddenly. It cannot be done without due consideration. I've had a part in installing three deacons during my time here as pastor. I've done it, of course, in other churches as well. Mike Vineyard. How many remember old Mike? There you go. He served and was a great blessing to our church. He was a true servant until he and Sheila had to move away to be near grandkids and their children down in Charlotte. But we miss them so much. Then Leonard Burcham. Right here, raise your hand, Brother Leonard. You've served as a deacon since February of 2019. Then Brother Chase Barnes, raise your hand, Brother Chase. He has served as a deacon since February of 2023. I believe each of these men were appointed by the Spirit of God. They did not campaign in order to get elected to the office. God laid them on the hearts of the leadership of our church. They were presented to the congregation just like we're going to be doing today. We prayed. We asked God to guide us, give us peace. Then they were voted in and approved by the church, and they have served. Number one, the biblical model for a deacon is based on service. Very, very important that we distinguish pastors are the leaders, deacons are the servants. As the early church was rapidly growing in the book of Acts, there were rumblings of discontent. Woo, that sounds like an independent Baptist church. But as they had trouble just like we do, amen, or we have trouble just like they did, however you want to say it, but the early church was growing so rapidly. Do y'all realize more people, more problems, right? There were rumblings of discontent. Here's what they were rumbling about. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being neglected from the daily distribution of food. It was like, what do you work for, Eleanor? You take the food around? Meals on Wheels. This was the first Meals on Wheels, all right? But they were being neglected. Oh, boy. And a spirit of murmuring and complaining is contagious. Have y'all learned that yet? It became a big issue. So a solution was brought forth to the apostles. They were the leaders of the early church at Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, Acts 6:3, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What's the business? Ministering to the widows, making sure everybody's getting fed. No discrimination. Doesn't matter what their background is. Everyone, all believers are taken care of. Now, from this passage, we see that a deacon is to be a servant, a help, so that the pastor is able to concentrate on the studying, the teaching, and the preaching of the Word of God. I can devote myself to prayer as I'm discerning God's agenda for our church, and I can lead the church on a daily basis. Jesus is the head of this church. Can you say that with me? Ready? Jesus is the head of this church. He has placed me here as his under shepherd to be the overseer of this local church in every aspect of this church. Our church has a biblical church structure. We are a pastor-led, deacon-served, and congregationally governed church. That is the biblical way to do church. And I'm so glad back in 1979, it was established that way, according to the Word of God. Pastor-led, deacon-served, congregationally governed. There are only two offices in the church. I already mentioned that, pastor, deacon. Deacons are introduced here for the very first time, but it's carried on throughout the New Testament and still practiced by biblical churches today that have deacons. All right, number two, there are biblical qualifications. By the way, there's not just a few, there's a lot. This is for the deacon, all right? And there, believe me, there's a lot for the pastor too, but we're not dealing with that today, okay? There are biblical qualifications. I want you to follow along in your Bible, and I want you to see it for yourself. Look at Acts 6:3, a man of honest report. I'm going to go through these very quickly. He's a good man. He's got personal integrity. He's got unblemished character. He is well respected in the congregation. Are you with me? Got to be a man of honest report. That's a good man. Number two, the next phrase says, a man full of the Holy Spirit. This is also in Acts 6:3. That's a godly man. Man, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, now that means all of us have the Holy Spirit. Can you shake your head with me? When it talks about the fullness, that means you've yielded control and you're not being led by your flesh, but you're being led by Him. Okay? There is a difference. We all have the Spirit, but how many of us are yielding to His control? That's what that means. He's a godly man. The next one is a man full of wisdom. So in Acts 6:3, I see a good man, I see a godly man, I see a gifted man. Makes sensible decisions. Sees things from a spiritual point of view. So many times we see things from a carnal point of view. Man, we need deacons that see things from God's perspective. All right, now turn to 1 Timothy 3:8. I want you to turn there now because I want you to see it for yourself. Go to 1 Timothy 3. We're going to start in verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave. Okay, that's an old English word. What does that mean? Serious-minded. Now, I love to cut up. I love to laugh. But there's things we got to do in a serious nature. And a deacon has to know when it comes to some things, it's not time to joke around. We got to be serious. These things are important. They're steady. They're respectable. They make sound judgments. All right, the next one. Not double-tongued. What does that mean? Doesn't think one thing and say another. Doesn't say one thing to one person and say another thing to another person. Trying to appease both sides. His words can be trusted. He's not a gossip. All right, that's what double tongue means. All right, the next one. Not given to much wine. That means they're able to abstain. They're not addicted. You know, nothing should control us. Intoxicate us other than the Holy Spirit of God. Can I hear an amen right there? Okay. At Gospel Light Baptist Church, we take the highest standard. Our pastors and their wives do not drink. We totally abstain. You say, preacher, it says little wine. Back then, their water was impure. And a little wine was added for the stomach's sake. We don't have that problem anymore. Amen. We got pure water. You don't need to rely on alcohol because if you start with a little, before long, you're going to be addicted. And all of us have seen the dangers that can come as a result of alcohol. So our pastors and their wives, our deacons and their wives, abstain from alcohol. That has been our standard for all the 45 years of our ministry. All right, the next one. Not greedy of filthy lucre. That means they don't desire money or dishonest gain. They must be trusted. They cannot be tempted to steal or use funds in a selfish way. See, they got to have a spiritual attitude toward money. When we meet together and talk about what's come in the offering, we realize this is God's money. It's not our money. Man, there's a lot of treasurers in churches that the pastor goes to them and says, "Can I have a check, please?" And they're like, "No," you know, and they grab hold and this is my money. They treat it like it's their money. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way an attitude of a deacon has to be. They realize it's God's money and they want to use it in the best way possible. All right, verse 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That means they hold firm to the true gospel without wavering. They are sound doctrinally. Of course, they agree with our doctrinal statement. They know what they believe. They know the word. But here's the best part of it. In this phrase, they not only know the word, but they live out the word through personal holiness. Isn't that the kind of deacon you want to have? Right? They base everything they do on God's word. If God says it, I want to do it. If God says don't do it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. That's what that verse means. All right, verse 10. Let these also be proved. Careful examination. Not a novice, not a brand new convert. They have to be mature. They have to be capable. That's why it takes a while to watch somebody's life. And we take about 2 years. Because it takes about that long to see how people react, how they respond, if they have a servant's heart. We do not make hasty decisions when it comes to putting someone in a place of service like this, because it's such a big responsibility. We've got to see a servant's heart in them first. Matthew 25, 21, y'all remember this, it says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things." They have to be proven. You know, as we're considering new deacons, Leonard and Chase and I don't say, "Hey, maybe old John, he'll attend church more if we make him a deacon." That's ignorant. That's you got it backwards. That's why we only choose deacons out of those who are faithfully attending church on Sundays and Wednesdays. If they can't come to Wednesday and be faithful to prayer meeting, then how in the world are they going to do other duties and serve? And so that's a minimum requirement always been. You got to be faithful to church unless you're at work or unless you're sick or on vacation. So they got to be faithful, and they got to be proved. That's how they're proven. We get to know them because they're at every service. They love to be in church. Don't you love to be around people that love to be in church? Doesn't that make church a lot better? Now, you can watch some, and you're like, "I don't know if they really want to be here or not." That should not be a deacon. They ought to love to be in church and love to serve. Some have said, "Hey, you're kind of dragging your feet. When are we going to add more deacons?" You know what we've been waiting for? Men to step up. That makes sense? We want to make sure they're qualified. You got to have a little time frame to say, "Hey, you know, they've been fully examined. We've seen a servant's heart in their lives." And praise God, he's answered our prayers. Verse 10, let them use the office of a deacon. Hey, they're just not filling the office. It's not just a title to them. They are actually serving. You know, some people are just seeking a title. Hey, they need to be actually working. All right, verse 10. Being found blameless. That means there's no serious charge or accusation. They have spotless character. They're not perfect, but they're above reproach. And if they do wrong, they're humble enough. They want to get it out of their lives and get things right. Look at verse 11. Okay, then it turns to the wives. Their wives must be grave. Hey, they got to be respectable too. They can't be a slanderer. They can't get on the phone and gossip and tear down others with their words. They got to be sober, spirit controlled, make good judgments themselves, and be faithful in all things. She is to be above reproach. Of course, their wives have got to be saved. They got to be serious about the ministry as well. And they got to serve right along with them. Two shall become one. They're one flesh. So they're in this thing together. All right, verse 12. Husband of one wife. That means a one woman man. Now at Gospel Light Baptist Church, again, we take the highest standard. And we only use men who have never been divorced. That's been the standard since day one. And faithful to their wives their entire marriage. Now, divorced men can serve in other roles in our church. We love them. We love all divorced people. And it's not the unpardonable sin. God can still use you. But according to God's word, we take the highest standard just to be safe and say, hey, we can use you in another role, but you just can't serve as deacon if you've been divorced. Verse 12. The next one, ruling their children and their own houses well. They are the spiritual leader of their home. How many homes are actually being led by spiritual men? Wow, so important. Their children are under control if they've got kids in the house. That's what that means. Then verse 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Those who do well as deacons, you know what they're rewarded with? Respect from the congregation. They have increased boldness, confidence in their faith in Jesus as they serve faithfully as a deacon. All right, let's look at number three. What happened? What was the result? Once deacons were put in place in the church of Jerusalem, look at verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Look at verse 7. And the word, this is back in Acts, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Five things happened, and they're going to be on the screen. Ready? Conflict was settled, and unity prevailed. How many love unity? Oh, my word, have mercy. How many love unity? Woo! And that's what we ought to be praying for, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Hey, when the solution of the deacons came up, the conflict went away, unity prevailed. Number two, the apostles were free to focus on prayer, focus on the ministry of the word, and lead the church. Be the overseer that God called them to be. Number three, those in need were served. Woo! The ones that had need, they got served. And everybody was happy. Number four, many were saved. Did you get the last part of that verse? Even some priests were saved. That's amazing. They saw the unity of the church and how they bonded together and how the needs were being met. So many came to Christ as a result of this happening, even the priest. The gospel spread. And then number five, the church thrived. You know what that means? It increased. If we'll follow God and do things according to His word, there's no way except up. Does that make sense? Whatever I'm trying to say. We're going forward. We're going to please God, and we will increase and thrive. All right, number four, their responsibilities. Meet needs according to God's word. Now, I've already told you the Jerusalem church was flourishing. They shared their resources with one another. They took seriously the scriptural mandate to care for widows. So deacons were needed to head up this distribution. The apostles couldn't do the job themselves. They had too much going on as they're leading the church and praying and seeking God and in the word. So, since they were busy, in order to carry out God's command, deacons were assigned to meet those physical needs. All right, number two. Here's their responsibility, support the ministry of the word. See, the mission of the church was beginning to suffer. It's not good to have widows neglected. It's not good to have anybody in our church being neglected. The apostles couldn't do all the work themselves, so deacons were appointed to free up the apostles' schedule. You know, I think there's a balance that God intends for our church to be fully devoted to the word and to be fully devoted to meeting the needs of the church. There's a fine balance. And deacons play a vital role. They serve the pastor so he can lead. Deacons are not in competition with the pastor. There is no struggle for power. They don't supervise the pastoral staff. You know what they really do? They support, they encourage, they pray. They are prayer warriors for the pastoral staff. Now you'll notice in Acts 6, only 7 deacons were chosen for that huge church. They had had 3,000 souls saved in one day. Would you call that a pretty huge church? So I don't want anybody to think, does that mean every church needs to have 7 deacons? No. Based on our ratio, you know, we only need the ones that we need and the ones that God qualifies, and we don't need to look at a certain number and say, hey, we need to get up to this certain number and just put them in there. No, we do it as God leads. And we let God decide the number in his time, in his way, using qualified men as they're recognized and then appointed to fill the role of a deacon. They made sure the work was done, those deacons, man. That means they had to have people under them to minister to all the people in the church. So it wasn't just them seven, those 7 doing the work. They had to organize people under them to get the job done of distributing food. Everyone in the church, every disciple, should serve. Let that sink in. Where are you serving in the church? Because that's the responsibility of every Christian. Deacons are an example of what a servant is to everybody else. Finally, I got 2 more. Unify the body around the word. The problem in Acts 6 was causing disunity. Christians were beginning to complain against one another. Deacons were appointed to ease the tension. Deacons are not in place to cause problems. Deacons are in place to fix problems. Did you get that? Deacons work at keeping the unity of the church. What produces the unity of the church? The Spirit. But whose job is it to keep or maintain? It's our job. And deacons lead in that, keeping unity of the church. I call them the shock absorbers of the church. They're encouraging. They love their pastor. They're relieving the tension so that the work of God can be accomplished. Now, finally, deacons must have a great commission mindset. We are to go and make disciples. Say that with me. Ready? Go and make disciples. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. The devil loves to see churches in battles against each other over issues that don't have anything to do with reaching a lost world for Christ. The devil wants to see us fighting each other. Do you realize that Gospel Light is heavily involved in saving innocent babies' lives? Do you think the devil loves that? He hates it! So we've got a target on our back already. Because abortion is murder. Abortion is one of the terrible sins of our country. And our church has finally, over the last 3 years, we've stood up and said, we're going to stand for life. And do you think the devil just sits back and says, oh, that's nice? He hates it. So here's what he's going to do. When he sees that we're reaching people of all ages, we have guests every week, just like today. Some are being saved. Can I hear an amen right there? The baptismal waters are being stirred on a regular basis. Hey, some churches never baptize people. It's amazing. People are joining our church. So you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to do everything in his power to get us sidetracked. He'll bring confusion to the body. Our pastors and deacons realize we cannot please everybody. We've got to hear from God. We've got to follow him. We've got to put up with the criticism. And we got to move on, keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping the main thing the main thing. We cannot be pulled from the mission of making disciples. Church, you got to realize we are in spiritual warfare. We're not playing games around here. This is not a playground. It's a battleground. That's why you need to be on your knees every day, bathing yourself in prayer, and in the Word of God. You got to keep your guard up if you want to keep attending a church like we got, because the devil's going to fight at every turn. We got to be ready for it. We got to be on guard. Put that armor on. Be in God's Word. Pray without ceasing, like we preached about a few weeks ago. Because the enemy's going to find a crack somewhere. And the murmuring and the complaining is going to start. And it's going to snowball. And if we're not careful, the devil's going to get a victory. But by God's grace, let's not allow that to happen. Be in much prayer. Chase Barnes, would you come? I am not done preaching. I got some more, okay? So don't leave your seat. I need some men to help pass out this paper. Come on, men. I need some servants. Come on, men. All right? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Chase, you got one? All right. Yellow, I'm sorry. Let me say, Brother Chase is one of our deacons, and I don't know if I've ever shared, I don't think I've shared this with y'all, but as we're interviewing a new deacon, or a prospective, I should say prospective deacon, and we're going through and making sure they're qualified, this is one of the sheets that I give to them, and it kind of takes the requirements in Acts and 1 Timothy and applies it to gospel life. What is expected of a deacon here in our church? And Chase is going to share that with us. So, and eventually you'll get a sheet, and then I'll finish up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Give me a head nod? All right, good deal. I just want to take the first opportunity to just recognize Leonard and the 6 years that he's served as deacon. Who's grateful for Brother Leonard and Miss Anna Laura?
Amen.
I certainly am. So as Pastor mentioned, this has been used for the last 6-7 years. That kind of outlines the expectations of a deacon. So Pastor's gone through some of the big biblical qualifications, and this is more the perspective of an expectation. What does that look like in our church at Gospel Light? The position of deacon is something that I hope you could tell that we don't take lightly and that we've been much in prayer about for several weeks. We've met with our nominees today or this past week and have had several discussions even beyond that. And so they've been clearly outlined what the expectations will be, and I'd like to go over them with you now. And a lot of this, I actually will challenge you, a lot of this should apply to you as a church member as well. This isn't just office of deacon. So first off, spend time alone with Jesus every day, be led by the Spirit, put Christ first above all, and ask for wisdom every day. And this is something I think we can all do. Secondly, love your wife, pray with her daily, serve the Lord together in our church. Pray for me, pray for you. We're on the same team. Support God's agenda for Gospel Light. This applies to Pastor, and Pastor Colton should also be included in this as well. And pray for our deacons as well. Be loyal. You can help greatly, but you can also hurt, and the cause of Christ can also be hurt, as kind of Pastor alluded to here at Gospel Light. Expectations for our deacons, of course, would be to attend deacons' meetings. You and your wife must abstain from alcohol, and if I also just kind of take that one step further, really any substance that could be altering or inappropriate. Live a holy, blameless life beyond reproach in all facets of your lifestyle. Support the ministry by helping me in any way possible. Dream big, be willing to change if God is leading that change. We're here to promote unity in the church by serving and assisting and meeting any physical needs of the church, just like any other building. We have sometimes things that need repairing. Relieve the pastor of responsibilities that would keep him from studying the Word and spending time alone with God, and that's straight from what Pastor outlined in the Bible that we believe. And that's a really big one for me, to help eliminate some of the distractions of that would keep him from being in God's Word. We have a little acronym here, FAT. This is faithful. As Pastor mentioned, Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, events, work days, unless you're at work or sick. Our expectation is our deacons will be present, will be here for you guys, here for our pastors. Be able, capable of accomplishing service-oriented tasks and ministering as a servant. Being teachable, not a know-it-all, humble, kind, loving, positive attitude, willing to learn. Help with the Lord's Supper when we have those occasions. Make sure we have adequate supplies. Help with any setup, cleanup. Help if needed with ushering, security, greeting, counting offerings with William. Pretty much anything that maybe someone's out for a week, or we have a variety of men that serve in different capacities. And so just anywhere that we could help out as deacons. Tithing your income is a big one, and just as an expectation. Serving on the finance team, preparing the budget, authorizing expenses, along with our pastor. This is something that we've had in place for a few years now, as a finance team, and it goes beyond deacons as well. Let's see. Call or visit the sick and hospitalized, minister to widows and shut-ins, help with outreach efforts, be self-controlled, control your tongue, avoid gossip, slander, conversations that don't edify the body of Christ. Pastor sometimes will ask opinions of the deacons and insight concerning different situations, how to approach different scenarios. Let's see. Deacons may also occasionally be asked to help with any church discipline issues that may arise. Attend either the funeral or visitation of families going through bereavement. Wives are involved in helping prepare food for the grieving families. Helping with any church-wide events, set up, clean up, helping in any way possible, really having that servant heart and servant attitude. If we sometimes hear someone has a need, we kind of group together as deacons and pastors, and we kind of figure out the next best step. I know that it says, I know things that people in situations that you may not, I must approve all expenditures. Just for an example, say someone has come to someone with a need a couple times, and then we've met that need, and not going and asking, Brother Leonard, after, pastor may have already met the need a couple times around. So we just try to be good stewards of what God has provided through our church, and we're definitely here to help people as we're able. If someone comes to you with a complaint about pastor or decision, please tell them that we can definitely speak personally, that we can come and meet together. We're happy to do any type of conflict resolution if that may arise as well. Lastly, we love you, and we thank God for you. It's kind of signed by pastor, but that's also from me and Leonard. As we mentioned, we have a couple that we're going to nominate today. Please, as a church, be in prayer for them. Like I said, this is not something we take lightly, but this is kind of what it looks like for Gospel Light, what Brother Leonard was kind of presented with, and this is the sheet that I was presented with a couple years ago as well, before I became a deacon. So yeah. I'll hand it back over.
Thank you, brother. All right, let me just sum the message up, and then we'll go into business meeting. I want to praise God that 4 years ago, he added Pastor Colton to our pastoral staff full-time. We were able to support he and his family, and what a blessing they've been. But now his plate's getting full as well, and we are at a point where we need more help. Let me make a very important statement. There are certain tasks that only me and Pastor Colton can do, but there are other tasks that someone else can do. Does that make sense? Me and Colton, sometimes we're not above getting on the ground and pulling weeds or cleaning a toilet when we need to, all right? But someone else can do that type of work because they're not the pastor and have to prepare a message. Does that make sense? And so I'm encouraging that some of the load that we have can be shared. And what a tremendous help you can be. Now, adding deacons is going to help. But adding more servants will also help. And you got to find a place of service in this church. With that gray fence out there by the road needs painting. We got weeds that need pulling. We need bus drivers. Sunday morning, Wednesday night. We've still got some more wood to cut up. We got branches that need trimmed, and the landscape team's about to rev up again. We can find a place of service for everyone. Every member ought to be a minister, ought to be a servant. So just find a spot and serve the Lord along with our deacons. Finally, I want to talk about three teams that are in place to assist me in ministry. Years ago, before we added Pastor Colton, we had a ministry team. Those were all the ministry leaders in our church. And we would have these meetings, and it kept growing because we kept adding ministry. We had all these people, and it was a terrible time to try to find a time for everyone to meet. We had babies. We had kids running around. And we would talk about, get on a certain topic, and then the dude over here that has nothing to do with that ministry, he's sitting over here twiddling his thumbs, and we're looking at the clock. It was just not conducive. That's what you have to do before you add pastoral staff. So we had a ministry team. But now that Pastor Colton, and this happened about when after he was here after about 2.5 years or three, we learned that he is wonderful at delegating, leading a department, leading a ministry. So now Pastor Colton and I lead the day-to-day operation of the church. We're up here during the week. We are in the service of the church, and we make the calendar, decide when the big church events are going to be. Now that I have staff, we do that. And then when it comes to ministries, we meet with the ministries and the leaders of each ministry as needed. So, and I think it's a better model for our church. One of the churches that I served in, we had departmental directors. Well, that was a good model, but now that church has five pastoral staff. Guess who are the departmental directors? Those five pastoral pastors. And then they have people under them that serve under them. That's the model that we now have. Embrace Grace. If Lakin has an issue, she comes to me, or I go to her. Embrace Life. Where's Robin? Robin comes to me, and she answers directly to me. We meet whenever she'll give me a call or a text. Hey, I need to meet with you about Embrace Life. That's the way it works, or vice versa. Gail with Junior Church or Gospel Kids Choir, Pastor Colton meets with her, leads her. Mariah with Teen Kids, same thing. Men's and Ladies Activities, Brian and Belinda Miller, help me with that. We meet and we decide and we figure out what's going to be next. Nursery with Tanya, me and Colton help her. And of course, Colton and her they work so well together for Vacation Bible School. And then all the connection group leaders, teachers, and those that lead those groups, I deal with them directly. And we talk about things that need to be done. And then our care ministry, Brother Myron, he's a great supporter. And he just deals with me. That's the way, since we now have a pastoral staff and those ministry leaders, we just deal with them as needed. But I still have three teams in place. I have a deacon team. And you're going to meet our nominees today. Our four deacons are going to help me more than ever. We're going to make sure everyone is being touched. No one's falling through the cracks. The tasks around the church are being accomplished. And let me just give you an update about our deacons. At the end of May, Leonard, our Caleb deacon, is going to retire. Okay? He's going to keep coming to our church. Can I hear an amen? But he's been doing deaconship for how long, brother? In like four or five different churches for how long? 50 years? He's been a deacon. Isn't that amazing? And so he said, he's got some things going on in his life and family. He said, it's time for me to retire. Okay? We may nominate another deacon at the end of May if one is ready. And we feel there may be one ready. But then a year from now, we would like to add another deacon. As men rise to the expectations, and we'd like to start a rotation. Chase will have served 3 years, and so he'll get to take at least 1 year off and rotate off, and we'll add someone. And then we're going to start a rotation basis, okay? Let's pray that there will be another candidate, qualified candidate, by next year about this time. Chase can rotate off. All right, that's my deacon team. Number two, I have a finance team. That consists of our deacons, our three trustees, and one of our laymen, Brother Brian. We plan the yearly budget. We meet and discuss expenses. And then we have to cover things that are not in the budget, things that pop up, like we've got a unit in the hallway that needs to be replaced. Right now, we're getting estimates. The finance team will meet. We'll choose which company to go with. And that's the purpose of the finance team. Before we bring anything to the church, just like these improvements in the chest of Joash, we agreed 100% before we bring anything to the church. Then every month we present a very detailed monthly financial report. We itemize expenses. There's nothing hidden. We keep everybody informed. And I know many of you don't even pick it up. You don't even care. But there are some people that they want to see how every dime is spent. We show you. We've got nothing to hide. I do not sign checks. I don't know what people give. I don't take the money to the bank and deposit it. We have people in place to handle it. We have a checks and balances, and it works perfectly. Then we have an accountant in town that pays all of our bills. She balances and audits our books every month, and we're blessed to have that as a backup. We have a great system in place that God is blessing abundantly. So I praise God for my deacon team, my finance team. Today I'm going to introduce my third team, and that is an advisory team. Let me explain what it is. This team will help me with conflict resolution and church discipline. When I hear of a sin matter in a member's life, okay, that means they're a member of this church and they're in sin. Most of the time it's sexual sin. Other times it could be sowing discord or whatever. The goal is always restoration, not condemnation. Trying to get them to repent and come back, all right? But if I have to deal with a church discipline issue or just a conflict resolution, when I hear of that and I need to confront someone over an issue, before I react to that situation, I'm going to call these men together. First of all, we're going to get down on our knees and pray. Can I hear an amen right there? And then when we get up off our knees together, we're going to come up with the best way possible to handle those difficult situations. I hate it's this way, but in the church, you do run across difficult situations. And I'm not going to be the Lone Ranger anymore trying to handle all this myself. I'm going to be wise from this point on. And I've told you back in January when I made the address to the church that I've learned from my mistakes and I want to do things differently. So when these difficult conflict resolution, church discipline issues, we meet together, come up with a plan. What does that do? That keeps me from reacting wrongly, sending out a quick text, or making a phone call to someone without thinking it through. I will instead be proactive. I'll be seeking godly wisdom and counsel first, then I'll be ready to follow through with whatever is appropriate. I've asked Pastor Earl and Pastor Colton, along with our deacons, to be a part of my advisory team. That's the way we'll handle things from now on. Just one more or two, a couple more things, and I'm done. We'll go right into business meeting. There are a few things that came up this week that I feel need to be addressed to the entire church. You know, a lot of times things are heard and things are getting around the church. And a lot of times there's secondhand, third hand, fourth hand information. Y'all ever played that game where you start over here and you tell somebody something, and by the time it's over here, it's all out of craziness? Do you know that happens in the church? And the devil loves it. Oh, y'all had something go wrong a few months ago. Here's what happened. And you hear it and you think, did that really happen? And we don't know if everything's true. We're getting different sides. Let me tell you how to handle that. If you hear something and you say, that don't sound like our pastors, and that don't sound like something our deacons would do, that don't sound like something our finance team would do. These are good men. What's going on? I want you to do what a couple did yesterday. And they texted me and said, can I meet with you? They came to my office in a gentle, humble spirit. We held hands and prayed. We hugged necks. And they're still in our church today. That's the way things should be done. Don't talk to one another. Come to the source. If you got something against me, my door is open. It grieves my heart when somebody makes this statement, Pastor Wayne is not approachable. What? Now, the Wednesday night crowd would say, you crazy. Because the Wednesday night crowd knows me more than anybody. That's when I let my hair down, the little I have, okay? And that hurts my heart so much because my door is always open. Have you tried to approach me? When somebody says that, I've tried to approach people recently and they don't want to meet with me, and I don't understand it. We're trying to come to a solution. But so much information that's going around, we assume the worst. Go to the person that you have the trouble with, and that'll take care of it. So I want to have an open door policy. One other thing is there is a difference between baptism and church membership. Listen very carefully. When someone gets saved, what does the Bible say the first step of obedience is? Say it out loud, okay? Baptism. Somebody gets saved. The Holy Spirit comes to live within their heart. Does that mean they're perfect? No, the Holy Spirit is just starting sanctification. So are they allowed to get baptized right after they're saved? Read your Bible. Let's say a couple comes to Peter, hears one of his messages, and they're living together. They're convicted in their heart. But the Bible says many, many instances, as soon as they were saved, what happened? They got baptized. So not everyone that gets baptized is joining the church. Y'all realize the difference? Recently, and I don't think they'd mind, Josh and Samantha, you talking about how God's worked in their life. Their boys got saved. Samantha got saved in my office. You know the first thing she wanted to do? I want to get baptized. I want to obey the Lord. Now, her and Josh were still living together, not married, but we went ahead and baptized her. Josh, after that happened, he texted me and said, "Hey, I want to join the church." I said, "Josh, when you get married, then you can join our church." Do you see the difference? The life of sanctification starts, but people do not have to clean up in order to be saved or be baptized. Hey, we just have to catch the fish. God cleans them up.